Support for this public radio podcast comes from Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org, and by KeyBank Capital Markets, specializing in corporate and investment banking solutions for established and growing mid-sized companies. Visit key.com/KBCM.
Where is the relief?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Congress is considering some tax relief to deal with the subprime crisis, but it's not for homeowners. Instead, it would help home builders through what is, in effect, a tax rebate. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports not everyone's keen on that idea.
The bill would extend the so-called net operating loss carryback rule. It would allow home builders to apply current losses to tax returns going back 4 years. By applying those losses to years when business was good, companies could get significant rebates from Uncle Sam. Terry O'Sullivan is general president of the Laborers International Union of North America. The union opposes tax relief for corporate home builders.
In 2006, they had $100 billion in revenue, of which they made $16 billion. And 2 years later, they're standing in line like pigs at the trough, asking for billions of dollars in a taxpayer handout.
O'Sullivan says the builders are partly to blame for the housing bubble, since many of these companies also made subprime loans. The bill has already passed the Senate. Now it moves to the House. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Yahoo thumbed its nose at Microsoft on Tuesday, reporting quarterly earnings that were on the high end of expectations, close to $2 billion for the quarter. Microsoft says it's not going to let that force a higher bid in its offering price for the search engine. A hostile takeover looms. On Wall Street Tuesday, the Dow closed down 104 points to 12,720. The Nasdaq closed down 31 to 2376, and the S&P closed down 12 to 1375. Today, oil is hovering around 120 bucks a barrel, and the dollar dipped to a record low against the euro. Hearings are slated for this week on the proposed Delta-Northwest merger. But today, Delta's flight attendants start voting on whether to unionize. Fewer than 20% of Delta's staff are union members, compared to 80% of Northwest's. Ashley Milntite looks at whether a more unionized workforce might make any difference to the success of the proposed merger.
Northwest unions have already come out against the merger. Richard Gritter teaches finance and transportation at the University of Portland. He says Northwest and Delta have already agreed to merge, so a few more unionized employees won't make a difference.
They can't prevent the merger unless justice steps in. But what they can do is create a nightmare once the merger is consummated.
Such as, he says, disrupting the airline's computer systems, which happened at United several years ago. He says, unionized or not, employee frustration is simmering.
I have never seen in my career labor relations as bad as what you see in the U.S. airline industry.
No surprise, he says. Airline bosses receive big financial incentives to make their struggling businesses profitable. Meanwhile, the rank and file are forced to give up pay and benefits. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, working for healthcare access with Health Connect, a practical guide to community outreach. Available to patient groups at medtronic.com/community. By America's Family Physicians, offering patient-centered care so employees can better manage their health and employers better manage their costs. AAFP.org/value. And by Constellation Energy, global provider of fuels, power, and energy services. Committed to sound, efficient, sustainable energy solutions. Constellation.com.
A silent tsunami that respects no borders. That's what the head of the UN's World Food Program called the worldwide food crisis at a summit on Tuesday. Food prices have risen so high that the program has had to stop food programs in three countries. That's as the UN Secretary General says close to $800 million is needed to cover the expenses of the agency's emergency operations. Commentator Will Wilkinson says the American political process contributes to the inflation of worldwide food costs.
Do Iowa's First in the Nation caucuses cause food riots in Mozambique? In recent months, demonstrations and riots have broken out all over the less developed world in protest of the rising cost of the grains that make up the daily bread of so many. The recent run-up in prices is hitting the world's poor especially hard, and this mess is largely the aftermath of a perfect storm of American special interest politics. The supply of corn is at an all-time high, but those gains in production aren't going into people's bellies. They're going into American gas tanks. According to a new World Bank report, almost the entire increase in the global production in corn over the last 3 years went into biofuel production here in the U.S. Meanwhile, many farmers worldwide have switched their crops to corn to profit from surging biofuel-driven demand. This has pushed up the prices of other grains, like wheat. Back in 2003, John McCain noted that ethanol is a creation of government subsidies and, quote, does nothing to reduce fuel consumption, nothing to increase our energy independence, nothing to improve air quality. And he was right. But in a speech in Iowa last August, a not-so-maverick McCain fell into line and touted the virtues of ethanol. Hillary Clinton flip-flopped too. Iowa's not really the problem, nor Big Agra, which just happened to benefit from a fluke of political history. The real problem is the nature of electoral politics, which encourages politicians to meddle in markets and pick winners as they cruise the campaign trail. This makes worries over global warming or energy independence more likely to result in a bonanza of special interest subsidies than in any real improvement. Usually, it's taxpayer wallets that take the hit. This time around, it's hungry children. That's sad. But sadder still, voters may be helpless to put a stop to it, much less keep it from happening again. The 2012 Iowa caucus isn't that far away.
Will Wilkinson is a research fellow at the Cato Institute. You can find a link to his blog at our website, marketplace.org. On Tuesday, we ran a story about the so-called Millionaires Amendment. That federal law allows congressional candidates to accept larger contributions if opponents finance their own campaigns. We reported Congressman Tom Reynolds of New York qualified for larger contributions under this rule, but he didn't qualify and he didn't accept higher donations. We regret the error. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. American Public Media.